Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso. Book 20. The Argument. The pagan host arrives, and cruel fight makes with the Christians and their faithful power. The Soldan longs in field to prove his might. With the old king quits the besieged tower. Yet both are slain, and in eternal night a famous hand gives each his fatal hour. Rinald appeased Armida. First the field the Christians win, then praise to God they yield. The sun called up the world from idle sleep, and of the day 10 hours were gone and past, when the bold troop that had the tower to keep espied a sudden mist that overcast the earth with murksome clouds and darkness deep, and saw it was the Egyptian camp at last which raised the dust. For hills and valleys broad, that host did overspread and overload. Therewith a merry shout and joyful cry the pagans reared from their besieged hold. The cranes from Thrace with such a rumour fly, his hoary frost and snow, when Hiam's old, pours down, and fast to warmer regions high, from the sharp winds, fierce storms, and tempests cold. And quick and ready this new hope and aid, their hands to shoot, their tongues to threaten made. From whence their ire, their wrath and hardy threat proceeds, the French well knew and plain espied, for from the walls and ports the army great they saw, her strength, her number, pomp and pride, swelled their breasts with valor's noble heat. Battle and fight they wished. Arm, arm, they cried. The youth, to give the sign of fight, all prayed their duke, and were displeased, because delayed till morning next, for he refused to fight. Their haste and heat he bridled, but not break, nor yet with sudden fray or skirmish light of these new foes would he vain trial make. After so many wars, he says, good right it is that one day's rest at least you take. For thus in his vain foes he cherish would the hope which in their strength they have and hold. To see Aurora's gentle beam appear, the soldiers armed, pressed, and ready lay. The skies were never half so fair and clear as in the breaking of that blessed day. The merry morning smiled and seemed to wear upon her silver crown sun's golden ray, and without cloud heaven his redoubled light bent down to see this field, this fray, this fight. When first he saw the daybreak show and shine, Godfrey his host in good array brought out, and to besiege the tyrant Aladine, Raymond he left, and all the faithful rout that from the towns was come of Palestine to serve and succour their deliverer stout. And with them left a hardy troop beside of Gascoigne strong, in arms well proved, oft tried. Such was Godfredo's countenance, such his cheer, that from his eye sure conquest flames and streams. Heaven's gracious favours in his looks appear, and great and goodly more than erst he seems. His face and forehead full of noblesse were, and on his cheek smiled youth's purple beams, and in his gait, his grace, his acts, his eyes, somewhat, far more than mortal, lives and lies. He had not marched far ere he espied of his proud foes the mighty host draw nigh. A hill at first he took and fortified at his left hand, which stood his army by. Broad in the front, behind more straight up tied, his army ready stood the fight to try. And to the middle ward, well armed, he brings his footmen strong, his horsemen served for wings. To the left wing, spread underneath the bent of the steep hill that saved their flank and side, the Roberts twain, 2 leaders good, he sent. His brother had the middle ward to guide. To the right wing himself in person went, down where the plain was dangerous, broad and wide, and where his foes with their great numbers would perchance environ round his squadrons bold. There all his Lorrainers and men of might, All his best armed he placed, and chosen bands, and with those horse some footmen armed light, that archers were, used to that service, stands. The adventurers then, in battle and in fight, well tried, a squadron famous through all lands, on the right hand he set, some deal aside. Rinaldo was their leader, lord, and guide. To whom the Duke, "In thee our hope is laid of victory. Thou must the conquest gain. Behind this mighty wing, so far displayed, thou with thy noble squadron close remain. And when the pagans would our backs invade, assail them then, and make their onset vain. For if I guess aright, they have in mind to compass us, and charge our troops behind." Then through his host that took so large a scope, he rode and viewed them all, both horse and foot. His face was bare, his helm unclosed and ope, lightened his eyes, his looks bright fire shot out. He cheers the fearful, comforts them that hope, and to the bold recounts his boasting stout, and to the valiant his adventures hard. These bids he look for praise, those for reward. At last he stayed, where of his squadrons bold and noblest troops assembled was best part. There, from a rising bank, his will he told, and all that heard his speech thereat took heart. And as the mountain snow from mountains cold runs down in streams with eloquence and art, so from his lips his words and speeches fell, shrill, speedy, pleasant, sweet, and placed well. "My hardy host, you conquerors of the East, you scourge wherewith Christ whips his heathen foe, of victory behold the latest feast. See the last day for which you wished alone. Not without cause the Saracens most and least, our gracious Lord hath gathered here in one, for all your foes and his assembled are, that one day's fight may end 7 years of war. This fight shall bring us many victories, the danger none, the labor will be small. Let not the number of your enemies dismay your hearts. Grant fear no place at all. For strife and discord through their army flies, their bands ill-ranked themselves entangle shall, and few of them to strike or fight shall come, for some want strength, some heart, some elbow room. This host, with whom you must encounter now, are men half-naked, without strength or skill, from idleness or following the plough, late pressed forth to war against their will. Their swords are blunt, shields thin, soon pierced through. Their banners shake, their bearers shrink, for ill their leaders heard, obeyed, or followed be. Their loss, their flight, their death I will foresee. Their captain, clad in purple, armed in gold, that seems so fierce, so hardy, stout and strong, the Moors or weak Arabians vanquish could, yet can he not resist your valors long? What can he do, though wise, though sage, though bold, in that confusion, trouble, thrust and throng? Ill known he is, and worse he knows his host. Strange lords ill-feared are, ill-obeyed of most. But I am captain of this chosen crew, with whom I oft have conquered, triumphed oft. Your lands and lineages long since I knew. Each knight obeys my rule, mild, easy, soft. I know each sword, each dart, each shaft I view, although the quarrel fly in skies aloft. Whether the same of Ireland be, or France, and from what bow it comes, what hand, perchance? I ask an easy and a usual thing. As you have oft, this day, so win the field. Let zeal and honor be your virtue's sting. Your lives, my fame, Christ's faith defend and shield. To earth these pagans slain and wounded bring. Tread on their necks, make them all die or yield. What need I more exhort you? From your eyes I see how victory, how conquest flies. Upon the captain, when his speech was done, it seemed a lamp and golden light down came, as from night's azure mantle oft doth run or fall a sliding star or shining flame. But from the bosom of the burning sun proceeded this, and garland-wise the same Godfredo's noble head encompassed round, and as some thought, foreshowed he should be crowned. Perchance, if man's proud thought or saucy tongue have leave to judge or guess at heavenly things, this was the angel which had kept him long, that now came down and hid him with his wings. While thus the Duke bespeaks his army strong, and every troop and band in order brings, Lord Emiren his host disposed well, and with bold words whet on their courage fell. The man brought forth his army great with speed, in order good, his foes at hand he spied. Like the new moon his host two horns did spread, in midst the foot, the horse were on each side. The right wing kept he for himself to lead, great Altamore received the left to guide. The middle ward led Muliasus proud, and in that battle fair Armida stood. On the right quarter stood the Indian grim, with Tisipherne and all the king's own band. But when the left wing spread her squadrons trim o'er the large plain, did Altamoro stand, with African and Persian kings with him, and two that came from Meroe's hot sand. And all his crossbows and his slings he placed, where room best served to shoot, to throw, to cast. Thus Emiren his host put in array, and rode from band to band, from rank to rank. His churchman now, and now himself doth say, what spoil his folk shall gain, what praise, what thank. To him that feared, "Look up, ours is the day," he says, "vile fear to bold hearts never sank. How dareth one against an hundred fight? Our cry, our shade, will put them all to flight." But to the bold, "Go, hardy knight," he says, "his prey out of this lion's paws go tear." To some before his thoughts the shape he lays, and makes therein the image true appear, how his sad country him entreats and prays, his house, his loving wife, and children dear. "Suppose," quoth he, "thy country doth beseech and pray thee thus. Suppose this is her speech: defend my laws, uphold my temples brave, my blood from washing of my streets withhold, from ravishing my virgins keep, and save thine ancestors' dead bones and ashes cold. To thee, thy father's dear and parents' grave, show their uncovered heads, white, hoary, old. To thee, thy wife, her breasts with tears o'erspread, thy sons, their cradles, shows thy marriage bed. To all the rest, you, for her honor's sake, where whom Asia makes her champions, by your might, upon these thieves, weak, feeble few must take a sharp revenge, yet just, deserved, and right." Thus many words in several tongues he spake, and all his sundry nations to sharp fight encouraged. But now the dukes had done their speeches all, the hosts together run. It was a great, a strange, and wondrous sight, when front to front those noble armies met, how every troop, how in each troop each knight, stood pressed to move, to fight, and praise to get. Loose in the wind waved their ensigns light, trembled the plumes that on their crests were set. Their arms, impresses, colors, gold and stone, against the sunbeams smiled, flamed, sparkled, shone. Of dry-topped oaks they seemed two forests thick, so did each host with spears and pikes abound. Bent were their bows, in rest their lances stick, their hands shook swords, their slings held cobbles round. Each steed to run was ready pressed and quick, at his commander's spur, his hand, his sound. He chafes, he stamps, careers, and turns about. He foams, snorts, neighs, and fire and smoke breathes out. Horror itself in that fair fight seemed fair, and pleasure flew amid sad dread and fear. The trumpets shrill that thundered in the air were music mild and sweet to every ear. The faithful camp, though less, yet seemed more rare in that strange noise, more warlike, shrill, and clear. In notes more sweet, the pagan trumpets jar. These sung, their armor shined, these glistered far. The Christian trumpets give the deadly call, the pagans answer and the fight accept. The godly Frenchmen on their knees down fall to pray and kiss the earth, and then up leapt to fight. The land between was banished all. In combat close each host to other stepped. For now the wings had skirmish hot begun, and with their battles forth the footmen run. But who was first of all the Christian train that gave the onset first won renown? Gildippes, thou wert she, for by thee slain the king of Ormes, Hircano, tumbled down. The man's breastbone thou clov'st and rent in twain, so heaven with honor would thee bless and crown. Pierced through he fell, and falling hard withal, his foe praised for her strength and for his fall. Her lance thus broke, the hardy dame forth drew with her strong hand a fine and trenchant blade, and gainst the Persians fierce and bold she flew, and in their troop wide streets and lanes she made. Even in the girdling stead divided new, in pieces twain, Zopyr in earth she laid. And then Alarco's head she swept off clean, which like a football tumbled on the green. A blow felled Artaxerxes, with a thrust was Argeus slain. The first lay in a trance. Ismael's left hand cut off fell in the dust, for on his wrist her sword fell down by chance. The hand let go the bridle where it lust, the blow upon the courser's ears did glance, who felt the reins at large, and with the stroke, half mad, the ranks disordered, troubled, broke. All these, and many more, by time forgot, she slew and wounded. When against her came, the angry Persians all cast on a knot, for on her person would they purchase fame. But her dear spouse and husband wanted not in so great need to aid the noble dame. Thus joined, the haps of war unhurt they prove. Their strength was double, double was their love. The noble lovers use well, might you see, a wondrous guise, till then unseen, unheard. To save themselves forgot both he and she. Each other's life did keep, defend, and guard. The strokes that gainst her lord discharged be, the dame had care to bear, to break, to ward. His shield kept off the blows bent on his dear, which, if need be, his naked head should bear. So each saved other, each for other's wrong, would vengeance take, but not revenge their own. The valiant Soldan Artabano, strong, of Boecan Isle, by her was overthrown, and by his hand the bodies dead among Alvante, that durst his mistress wound, fell down, and she between the eyes hit Aramont, who hurt her lord, and cleft in twain his front. But Altamore, who had that wing to lead, far greater slaughter on the Christians made, for where he turned his sword or twined his steed, he slew, or man and beast on earth down laid. Happy was he that was at first struck dead, that fell not down on live, for whom his blade had speared, the same cast in the dusty street, his horse tore with his teeth,